Okay, we're really happy to have Hattie speaking, and I heard her at the 9:15, and it was very good. So yeah, it's gonna be a blessing. So let's come up, Hattie. I'm just gonna pray for Hattie. Father, I thank you for Hattie, and I thank you for this tremendous woman of God that she is. Someone who is seeking after you, searching for you, and wanting to be as much like you as she can be. And I thank you for the example that she is to many of us, but particularly to our other young people. And so we pray for her. We pray that your spirit would help her as she speaks to us now. That you would just put that certainty in her heart that what she's going to share is what you are wanting to communicate to us this morning. And so I pray that you be with her, that you bless her in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Hats.
Thank you. Great. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. I don't know if Sally said, but we're finishing our series this morning on freedom, and we're going to look at freedom from sin. But to start, I'm just going to read our passage, and can I invite you to stand? Just, I know it helps me to do something to help me engage and listen. So I'm just going to read, if it'll come from the screen. There we go. Romans 8, 12 to 15 says this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, by what it tells you to do, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. Amen. Got to take your seat. Sorry, keeping you on your toes there. Great. I want to start by just sharing a story about a journey that I once took. And there should be some pictures up on the screen. Here we go. A few years ago, my family and the Hebditch family, who are also part of this church, we went on holiday together. And these pictures make it look like it was a fairy tale, which in many ways it was. It was a good holiday. But actually, this story began as a real tragedy, because that holiday was a staycation, but that was not what we had originally planned to do. Originally, we'd booked a holiday home down in Devon, and we packed our car. We were really excited. It was our first holiday since lockdown, and we drove all the way there to this house. And when we got there, we looked in the window, and we could see that there was a dog in there, and there were some people shuffling around, and there was a car on the drive. And we realised that we had been scammed. Your reaction was really underwhelming. We've been scammed, guys. We've been scammed. And so what we did is we went to the nearest McDonald's. We sat in the car park for a little bit on the phone, and we tried to rearrange our holiday. It didn't work. We did get our money back. But we resigned to it. And so we decided to come all the way back home and have a staycation instead, which turned out quite well. But essentially what had happened is we'd gone on this really long-winded and quite expensive journey from our house all the way back to our house. And when we set off on that journey, we didn't think that was going to happen. We thought that where we were going was different to where we had come from. And obviously for all of us, when we plan our ideal holiday, we hope that where we come from is not where we end up going. And I think that that is a really good way of describing the story of what our freedom from sin looks like in the Bible. When we think about our sin and the story of the freedom from sin that Christ has given us, I think that's the headline, that where we have come from is not where we're going. And that story actually traces back way longer before we get to this passage in Romans. A lot of us will be quite familiar with it, but I think it's really important to just remind ourselves of it. So right at the beginning of the Bible, we read in Genesis about this perfect world that God creates that is free from sin. And then people, we get in the way and we decide to go our own way and sin enters the world. And then a bit of time passes and we get to the second book of the Bible, Exodus. And in Exodus, we meet these people called the Israelites. And we see them go on this journey. God chooses these people called the Israelites. And right from the get-go, his desire for them is that they might be in relationship with him and that they might become more like him. In Exodus 19, verse 6, God says to the people, "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And that story is in our Bible because Israel, the Israelites, they're this image of who we are too. God's desire for them is the same for us today. His longing is that we can be in relationship with him, in free relationship with him, and that we can become like him. And that alone is absolutely amazing, and I could stop there, but I'll keep going. If we go back to the Israelites, if we look at this journey on the screen, they begin as slaves to the Egyptians, and for 400 years they're trapped in slavery. And they cry out to God to be freed from slavery, and he hears them, and he calls them then out of physical slavery into physical freedom. He calls them from Egypt to the Promised Land, which isn't on the screen, because it's quite a long journey, so just imagine it. But during that journey, they have to cross the wilderness in order to get there. And in the wilderness, God begins to bring the Israelites out of their spiritual slavery to sin, and into their spiritual freedom. So you might have heard it before, it's quite a famous thing, but God takes Israel physically out of Egypt, and then in the wilderness, he has to take Egypt out of Israel. This life of sin that they're used to, he calls them out of it. And as the Israelites are forming this relationship with God in the wilderness, we see that they become unfit for God's presence because of their sin. And they have to kind of get rid of it before they can come into God's presence safely. And so what God does is he gives them some laws. And the Israelites, they promise to follow these laws so that they can come into God's presence. And if you read the story, which I'm sure a lot of us have, we see that these laws, they work to an extent, but actually it doesn't really stop the Israelites from sinning. And the law kind of becomes this magnifying glass that kind of just emphasizes how unworthy the Israelites are to be in relationship with God. And as you read through the Old Testament, you see that the Israelites, they get caught up in this and they keep kind of going and then turning back and going towards God and turning back again and not keeping their promise. And at one point, we actually see a story where the Israelites, they say they want to go back to Egypt. They actually want to go back into kind of that physical slavery almost. And eventually, as I say, it's not on the screen, but the Israelites do get to the Promised Land. So they achieve their physical freedom. But actually, there's a reality that for the people, they're still stuck in their spiritual slavery to sin. And so God's plan for a journey from A to B doesn't look like this straight line for the Israelites, but it actually looks more like that second line. It's a lot of back and forth. And for you, I don't know if you've got a relationship with God here today. I think most of us do. But that might feel a bit familiar in your own relationship with God and as you've maybe thought about sin and what that looks like for you. And I just want to pause here at kind of part one of that story. I'm aware I've said the word sin quite a lot of times, and that's quite a kind of scary word that's quite loaded. And so I want us to make sure that we have a good understanding of what sin actually looks like. So for 1 minute, just so you don't have to hear my voice for a bit, just turn to the people around you. How would you define sin in kind of one sentence? What do you think sin means? Give you a moment to think about that. Okay, you've gone a bit quiet, so I'm guessing you've kind of decided what sin means. I don't know what you said, but for me, I always steal what Matt H. says, which I'm going to do again because he isn't here. Matt H. says that sin is the things that we do, think or say that hurt ourselves, God, and others. The things that we do, think or say that hurt ourselves, God, and others. And if we go to this passage, Paul's saying that without that promise of freedom that God gives us, this sin that we that's part of us, that's in our nature, it leads us to death. It's like this arrow pointing backwards, pointing to death. And he means that both in kind of an ultimate sense, in that we don't get to inherit eternal life without that promise of freedom. But he also means it in the sense that we don't get to experience our life with Christ. We experience death. And for us, sin is really important to understand and acknowledge in our own lives. But I really want to just kind of say this, to emphasize this, that it is our freedom and not our sin that is the focus of our faith. And God's desire for us is that we are with him, in relationship with him, and become like him. And if we go back to the Israelites, God saw that these people, they were stuck in their slavery to sin. And he wasn't happy. He wanted a way out. He wanted to be in relationship with them. And so he made a way for us so that we could have freedom from our spiritual sin. And so if we move forward into the New Testament, hopefully you've heard of someone called Jesus. And Jesus is this gift that God gives us. God gives us his son, and he dies on the cross for us. And when he dies on the cross, Jesus, he gives us a way out of spiritual slavery once and for all. He wipes the slate clean for us. And he goes on that journey that we were destined to, that backwards arrow towards death, just so that we don't have to. And then he rises again so that we can live with Christ, so that our journey goes from death towards life, from sin into freedom. And finally, we are free because of Jesus. And for many of us here, that isn't brand new news to us. That's really at the heart of how we've come into our relationship with God. And so when we come to this passage in Romans, around 20 years after Jesus' death, it's very much the same for the church that are hearing this letter. That isn't new news to them, that Jesus has died and that they're free from sin, free to be in relationship with God. But Paul still feels the need to remind them of it. And so I think that's a good reminder for us too, even if we've been in a relationship with God for a really long time. So I just want to read these words again. Paul says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father." We see here that Paul's recognizing that although we are free from sin because of what Jesus has done, we still are wrestling with this sinful nature that is a part of all of us. And he's addressing this reality, but although now we get to be like God and we get to be with God, we often find that we aren't. We mess up. We're not like God a lot of the time, and sometimes it can feel like we're not with God or he's far away from us. And so like the Israelites, our journey in our relationship with God is not that straight line, but it's messy. It's a lot of going back and forth. We get stuck in our sin. We do things that cause us to turn around back to where we came from instead of where we're going. And that is the reality of what our freedom looks like today, whilst we live here on earth. And that might kind of sound a bit strange. I think maybe for me, and maybe for you as well, I picture freedom as this kind of automatic thing that happens to me, and I get to just live in passively and enjoy. But actually, when we look at this passage and what Paul's saying, we see that freedom, it is this gift that we get to enjoy, but we have to actively choose to live in it. And with the freedom that we've gained, there comes this responsibility for us to live in a way that does the reverse of sin, that doesn't hurt ourselves or God or hurt others. Nelson Mandela, who famously he fought for freedom from the apartheid in South Africa, he said that for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. And even though he's talking about something a little bit different, it really is the same for our spiritual freedom. We don't earn our freedom. The freedom that we have in Christ is a gift that is freely given to us, but it takes effort if we want to live in it. And so Paul's reminding us of this, and he highlights a few important things. Firstly, He says that we are not slaves to sin anymore, but we are children of God. We don't obey a slave master, but we obey a father who loves us. And so freedom does not mean that we are free to do whatever we like, because actually that does just lead us back into slavery. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole, you can read more about it in Romans. But ultimately, freedom means that we are no longer obligated to do what sin tells us to do, what it urges us to do, as Paul says. Instead, we get to obey a father that promises us a better life with him, that promises us freedom. And if you were at church a few weeks ago, we looked at the story of the prodigal son together in smaller groups. And this is a painting that Rembrandt did to kind of depict the pinnacle moment of that story. And when we were reading that story, you might remember we saw this amazing picture of a son who turns away from his father and he gets caught up in a life of sin. And he ends up realizing that his life has come to nothing. And so he comes back to the father on his knees, kind of full of shame, completely broken, and he asks him to be a servant. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And maybe to our surprise, the father responds by asking the servants to prepare the biggest party that they can to bring the son the finest clothes. And that is because he loves him. And let's read what he says. And just listen to the parallels to what I've just been talking about. The father says, "This son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found." And this story is kind of what Paul's talking about. It's this picture of us as children to our Father God, not to a slave master. Although we are not worthy, God embraces us as his sons and daughters. And he celebrates in the fact that where we were once dead in our sin, we are now alive with him. And so just as we see this son turning back to his father, Paul reminds us of a second thing, that our Father forgives us. When we ask for God's forgiveness, we can freely receive it. Another word you might have come across maybe in the Bible is repentance. And literally translated, that means to change your mind. And if we think about that in the context of a journey towards freedom, repentance is changing our mind. It's turning back around in the right direction when actually we've been facing the wrong way. It's to stop heading towards where we came from and get back to where we are going. And like this son, we can turn around and run to God, still covered in our sin, and he embraces us and helps us to move forward into a new life. And so practically, if you're here today and you want to pursue this life of freedom that Christ has given you, then repentance is a really important part of your relationship with God. And that's not because God wants us to dwell on our sin forever. Rather, it's because God wants to remind us of our freedom. He wants to give us that freedom that is ours to take. I had a conversation this week with a friend. We were actually away at Hebron Hall. Big Hebron Hall fans in the room. And I was chatting to my mate, and he said something, and I said something about somebody else, which kind of in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have said. And so I said to him, "Oh, you know, I feel like I really shouldn't have said that. I think that was quite mean. Do you think I was being a bit mean there?" And I hoped that he would comfort me and say, "No, you're not mean. You're amazing. Don't worry." But actually, he just said very bluntly, "Yes, that was mean." And for me, in that moment, I was a little bit like hurt and a little bit taken aback. But actually, because of that conversation, I was able to recognize that me talking negatively about that person was actually more to do with me and the kind of the sin of pride in me. And so I was able to go away and talk to God about it and deal with it and find forgiveness. And although that wasn't a good feeling, perhaps initially, acknowledging my sin and saying sorry, it helped me to move forward. And I'd realised that I'd been turning back in the wrong direction, and it helped me to get back on track and remind me of where I was going. And being able to deal with our sin in that way is this gift that Christ has made possible for us. But I'm aware that it can feel like hard work, especially maybe when some of the sin that we're dealing with is really ingrained in us. It's something that we feel urged to do, as Paul talks about in this letter. And so if that's how we're feeling about some of the sin in our life this morning, Paul says this to us: don't give up. Keep going. Keep turning back to God. sometimes dealing with our sin and turning around is easy. It might be a kind of a one-time thing. But other times we might find ourselves trapped in a bit of a cycle where we're dealing with the same sin for quite a long time. Perhaps you might have had this before. You can tell God that you're done with jealousy, or you're done with that addiction that you're trying to break, or pride, or gossip, or anger, or whatever. And then the next day you find yourself doing it again. You're still trapped in that slavery. And this can lead us to getting used to living in sin and to accept that that is a part of who we are. And we can give up dealing with it. And over time, as the years pass, we realise actually that God feels really far away from us. And that's because the longer that our sin is not dealt with, the further away we get from God. Just like on a journey, the longer that we're facing the wrong direction and walking away from where we're going, the further away we get to our destination. And Paul says this: through the power of the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of our sinful nature. Bringing sin into the light so that the Father can take it from us stops the enemy from keeping us stuck in darkness so that we are slaves again. And a really helpful thing to do is talk about your sin with the people around you. For me, being able to share the stuff that I'm struggling with my mentor that is ongoing, it helps me to move forward, even if it's just a little bit, and I end up going back again. The enemy often wants to keep us in darkness and keep us to ourselves, but God wants us to be in the light and to speak things out and to be around with others. So there may be some sin that we battle with for our whole lives, but we can hold on to God's promise to us that where we come from is not where we're going. So to bring us into close, hear this. Jesus did not hang on the cross for us to live apart from him. He did not hang on the cross for us to walk around burdened by our brokenness and wondering where he is. No, Jesus hung on the cross because he wants us to be free. And so for you here this morning, where are you on that journey? Perhaps you maybe haven't even started that journey yet. Maybe you haven't entered into a relationship with God. So can I invite you, if you'd like to, you can make that decision this morning. We'd like to pray with you over here if you'd like somebody to do that with you. But for those of us that are already on that journey, where are we? Are we heading back to where we came from, or are we running towards the freedom that Christ has given us? When we see our weaknesses, we can despair, or we can come back to the heart of the gospel, that we are forgiven. We are not slaves, but children of God. And when we are far off, we can turn around and move forward, because where we have come from is not where we're going. Amen. Sorry.
Thanks, Hay. Mark, can you come up and could we sing another song? Is that all right? Could we sing "I Speak Jesus" again in a second? That'd be good. It'd be good to spend a bit of time just responding to what I shared, wouldn't it? I think sin is just something we so want to be able to be free from, but sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds, is it? And we can get caught up, all of us are in the same boat, aren't we? We get caught up with things, and it'd just be good to spend a little bit of time responding this morning. And the prayer team are around. Linda's here. Is there anyone else here, Linda, and prayer team? Yeah, we'll kind of head over this way. Steve, a few others. If you'd like to pray, you're not going to be kind of exposing everything from inside, but you can come and share something with that team. That'd be good. They'd love to pray for you this morning. And I love what Hattie was picking up as well around bringing stuff into the light, being honest, having a mentor, having somebody you can share things with. I'm hopefully you've all been in that position at some point where you've just brought something to somebody, and actually to bring it out into the light is so good. So I encourage you to do that this morning. Just to say as well, somebody shared a picture this morning of somebody going down a road in completely the wrong direction. I'm going to cry now. Sorry. But just picking up, and it's interesting, it was just tied in with the rest of the morning. They said this first thing this morning, and somebody going in completely wrong direction, knowing they're on the wrong road, being able to see the right road in front of them. And it was just a really kind of simple kind of get off that road and get onto the one you want to get onto. So if that's you this morning, we'd love to pray for you around that as well. So let's worship together. and then we can pray as well. Lord, thank you for the freedom that you bring. We thank you for the freedom of the cross, for what you have done for us, Lord, that you don't leave us to wallow and struggle and just be distant from you, to be apart from you. But you take the things that we've got wrong, Lord. You take them and you free us from them. And Lord, we just long to be walking in that freedom. And Lord, we recognize with honesty the challenges of that, that day to day this stuff comes our way and some things we battle with. But we ask you, Lord, help us in those things. Amen.